Welcome to this week's edition of The Film Experience. I'm your host, Nathaniel. Today we're going to be discussing Oscar's new diversity initiatives, as well as the PGA win for The Big Short. Next week, a very special episode, Top 10 Lists. But first, before we get to that, I want to welcome Katie Rich from Vanity Fair.
Hello, I'm snow survival. I have survived the snow.
Yes, Blizzard Jonas. And Joe Reed from Decider.
Hello.
And Nick Davis from Nick's Flick Picks.
Charlotte, that is not what I meant when I said go, 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 go.
So, yeah, I guess we have a few things to discuss before the top tens. First of all, The Big Short won the PGA Award for Best Picture.
It's the craziest, craziest year. Like, honest to God.
Are people who follow, like, I don't pay that much attention to the PGAs. Like, were the PGAs expected to go for Spotlight?
I'm not sure
Well,
what
I
the
feel
very
like every time anybody
strong
wins anything, the headline says disappoints front runner Spotlight. And yet, if you looked for the evidence that Spotlight has been the front runner, it's like Marco Rubio being the front runner. It's like it's always third. Why are we saying that?
People get it in their head that something is the front runner, and they just can't let it go.
But Joe's been calling The Big Short for Best Picture for a few weeks now, so he
Yeah,
saw
and
it.
then as soon as I jumped off that train for the last podcast, then all of a sudden it wins PGA. So who even knows?
They're just trying to neg you at this point.
Well, Joe, I hope you're wrong.
Me too, but who knows? I do like how absolutely unpredictable this is. Like,
It
although
is
I guess if
wild.
Short ends up winning the SAG, then maybe it starts seeming less unpredictable, but I don't know.
I have this. Can I share my theory about SAG? I think it might go to Straight Outta Compton.
Whoa. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I would
Just
be.
think of the conversation all week has been about Oscar So White.
Yeah. Although,
And
like, oh, so.
weren't they voting this week?
Like, of all the strengths that I like in Straight Outta Compton, like, I just. That is Best Ensemble just does not work for me at all.
Well, we know that Penelope Ann Miller doesn't like it that much, so that's
And
not
as goes
happening.
Penelope Ann Miller, so goes the nation, as we've always said.
I think that's right. And I think she probably does speak for a lot of people who are going to be, who are as irritated by this dominating the conversation as not. And I don't know.
Yeah, I'm amazed by how many Academy voters are willing to go on the record with The Hollywood Reporter and say, I'm not racist, therefore this isn't a problem. Like, it's
Just
incredible.
shut the door in their
Like,
faces, my God. Like,
stop talking.
good Lord, don't answer your
Yes.
goddamn phone.
Yeah, the only people who
Don't
win in that
speak.
conversation are the reporters who are trying to get
Yeah.
clickbait.
Well, like, although
Of
I don't
course.
know if you guys saw the one that went up yesterday where Scott Feinberg talked to Dolores Hart, who is now a nun, and she was
Yep.
like, I watch all the screeners. Like, everyone in my convent likes watching the screeners with me. I don't want to stop voting. And I was like, you go, Dolores Hart. You seem like one of the good
What?
ones.
I love that that was part of the statement when they released the statement about expanding or expanding the membership and emeritus status and all that kind of stuff with the rule changes. When they were like, "Don't worry, you'll still get your screeners," and I was just
Right.
like, "I gotta figure that like that those were all the phone calls they were getting this weekend. It was just like, don't take my screeners away.
Yeah, like I don't care if I vote. Just leave me. Just."
It's like a social security check. It's just like I will vote your ass out if you even touch my screen.
They just need to work out a buddy system where like 3-6 Mafia pledges to mail their screeners to Dolores Hart after they're done with the mission. Just keep everybody in the loop.
Everybody
Three
wins.
Six
Nice
Mafia
set.
won't lose their voting privileges. They're winners.
They
They
will not.
Well, I think given the new rules about a membership not being lifetime, that will be applied retroactively, that you have to be active within each 10-year period to get renewed.
That part
But
really
it's
is
lifetime
unclear
if
to
you've won
me.
one. Wasn't that one of the
Yeah,
grand
if
rules?
you've won or
I
been
thought if you were
nominated,
nominated.
if you've won or been nominated, it's lifetime. But the whole
Right.
3-year period made
So,
me really.
Three Six
so I
Mafia
think we should all.
Sorry, it was really unclear to me, like, if you were active between 1950 and 1980 and haven't been active since, if that counts as your 3 decades or if it has to be current. Like, that part was really unclear.
No, it's I think it's based on when you joined the Academy.
So if you were, but yeah, so like if you were active for 3 decades after joining the Academy and now aren't active, does that still give you lifetime status?
Yes.
Okay, so like Cid Charisse is okay.
Well, it depends. Did she join the Academy in the 70s or did she join in the
50s? I have no idea. There's basically no way to find out unless you're in the
Academy. Guys, I have terrible news about Cid Charisse's voting eligibility right now.
Oh boy.
Well, she died, what's right?
The... Did she die?
Didn't she die a few years ago?
I don't know. I did this. I made some kind of joke about
she
Marina.
Did.
I made a joke
she
about
died
Marina
seven
Hara.
Years ago, yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, she died 7 years. I mean, yeah, I made the same joke about Maureen O'Hara, and she has also died.
Yes.
So,
this
all
is
right.
The only bigger fear of the older Oscar voter than losing their screeners is people going, are they dead? I can't. They yeah. seem dead.
There's someone else, like some Cid Charisse level person who I was looking at the other day who is in the Academy. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy. I'll think of it.
You guys, since we were talking about Penelope Ann Miller earlier, did you guys know she's actually starring in that Sundance drama, The Birth of a Nation, which is about a slave revolt?
Whoa!
Yeah. I think that's how she got the call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then got another
so
call,
Yeah, that doesn't premiere until the tomorrow, I think. Yeah, tomorrow. So we won't hear any news yet, but it's definitely one of the ones people are expecting to be, like, a big buzz one.
Yeah, it was on everybody's most anticipated list.
I mean, you call your movie Birth of a Nation and you get some
right.
balls.
Yeah.
One of the things I feel like I've learned this week, and like, you know, this is a larger topic, but like understanding of systemic racism and like what it means to be part of a racist system, even if you yourself are not racist, does not come naturally. Like, people just have no understanding that like what they have done can result in racist results, even if they themselves are not racist, which is what all of these like Hollywood Reporter interviews keep telling me over and over again, which makes me really kind of bummed out about the prospect for any change here. Like, it's just gonna take so long. Like, and people are just never gonna get it. Like, they're never gonna get systemic racism. It's just gonna have to change in other ways.
I'm not sure that's true, but I do think, I mean, since I'm already like persona non grata, I'll just say this. I do think that the social media, you know, tendency for outrage, you know, it's like the best outlet for outrage because it's instantaneous, is not helping people who are maybe a little bit behind, because it's really hard to like understand all these differences between like racism and racial bias and systemic, like these are complicated issues unless you've already like long since, you know, figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who maybe hasn't experienced it, like, let's say, like, and I hate all the ageism online, but let's just say you're, you know, 60 and you haven't had that much experience with, you know, identity politics. Like, it's not that simple, actually. And so, like, people want to, like, crucify everyone who says something wrong. And if you do that, how are you going to have a dialogue to teach people?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, maybe embracing these changes and knowing that the Academy has done it will allow people to, like, consider what good this can do. I mean, so, I kind of want to just go back and talk about what these changes are, because Nathaniel, you were one of the people really concerned about them, like, changing the number of Best Picture nominees again and, like, doing all these surface changes. And what they did was much more behind the scenes and seems, to me, like, probably the most useful thing they could have done. Did it feel that way to you?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about it was that the reaction was so, like, I felt the same, like, this is a really good move. But it's actually not that different from what Cheryl Boone Isaacs had already set in place. They're just, like, speeding it up, which, you know, maybe she should have been more aggressive to begin with. I don't know.
What had she already set in place?
Well, because they'd already been doing diversity initiatives, like, maybe not as strongly as they should have, because when we saw the, you know, because they were inviting more people every year.
Mm-hmm.
And more diverse people than they had in the past.
And probably more divorced people.
Yeah.
Sorry. So it is sort of similar to what she had already been trying to do, but now I think that the uproar has probably put wind in her sails of what she actually wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? With less resistance from other people, because I don't know if there was resistance to begin with, but they said it was a unanimous vote. So clearly, the board of directors, not just her, is all behind it now.
Yeah, the change of not having to be nominated just by an existing member of like the outreach, like that seems like it's going to net the most results to me.
Yes.
That's big.
Yeah, because before, you know, for people who hadn't followed the minutia, before previous members who've already joined had to sponsor you. And so that's why it becomes even more insular, like a club, like a boys club, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does seem like it would have fairly tangible results, loosening that. Particularly because I looked at because there were so many loopholes for Academy members to avoid being placed on emeritus status, I started to wonder how much of an impact that might have, because it just felt like you'd really have to be like long gone out of the industry, like, you know, selling real estate in Florida or something like that to not be considered active, I think. So I feel like I would need to lean on the diversity initiatives in new Academy members for the most good news.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
Well, you'd think like moving to a convent in Connecticut would be right up there with selling real estate for a few years, and like the fact that the number of loopholes that are being advanced. I do kind of wonder how many people this will wind up applying to. But then again, when we look at who the interview subjects are in these interviews, and they're people who, again, not that to categorically slight any group of people, but I won Best Original Screenplay in 1972. You know, like, yeah. I haven't made a movie since Dickie Roberts' Child Star in 2003, but I teach, you know.
Yeah.
Joe and Nick, do you guys feel like this was, like, in general, the right thing to do, though?
I have a sense, I mean, the indelibly named Hawk Koch and other recent Academy presidents all keep suggesting that this was something they have all been trying to do for their last few 10 years, and it sounds like part of how it came about so quickly was that people have been begging to kind of clean out the old roles, and this gave them the way to do it. It seems like the right thing, but I honestly don't feel super confident of my own ability to judge or how effective or not this is. I really hope so.
Yeah, I feel like I'm of the proposed solutions. I mean, I was, you know, as aggressive on Oscar nomination morning as anybody about the problem. But I feel like then all of a sudden when the solution started coming about like expand the acting categories to more nominees and, you know, put, you know, make everybody somehow have to see every movie, which seemed insane of a solution, or, you know, nominating committees and stuff like that. Of those proposed solutions, everything seemed to be something that would take away something fundamental from what the Academy Awards are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at some point during the week, the realization was just like, it's not that we have to change the Academy Awards. It's that the Academy Awards have to change themselves if we are to continue to like respect them, basically. So yeah. I'm glad that they have decided, because it felt like if they had decided to like do something like expand the number of acting nominees per year, which is a reactionary move that may not have even done anything this year. Like if you had expanded all those acting categories to 6, there's no guarantee you would have gotten any more nominees of color than you did when it was 5.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, just imagine next year when it's like 6 acting nominees and they're all white again.
Right. It just seems worse. Exactly. So I think ultimately the solutions have to come from a not flashy level. And this was a good, I think, not flashy solution that made sense. And I think the other initiatives are just going to have to happen on a level of the way Hollywood makes movies and the way Hollywood promotes movies and spends money on movies. And that's going to be a lot harder. But ultimately, that'll be the thing that does it. And if we can just elect Viola Davis president of Hollywood, that would be another good step.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, I felt like there was a difference between solutions that are actually targeted at changing the Academy Awards and solutions that are about changing the industry in some way, you know? And
right.
And changing numbers of nominees just feels like this is how to rig a slightly different optic that you get out of the same system. But these other things seem like things you should want to do anyway. You know, promoting more diversity in your ranks, making completely semi-retired or fully retired people less vocal in making decisions in general in this industry. So anything in that category seems more optimistic.
The thing that I'm really pulling for that I don't know if anyone else cares about is, like, you know, watching the results of, like, the Critics' Choice Awards or a lot of critics' groups and seeing them fall in so in lockstep with the Academy that it lets all of us kind of think broader about, like, what a prestige movie is, that, like, campaigns get more diverse, that people are promoting different things. Like, you know, the Critics' Choice Awards prove that, like, you can be very involved in the industry and still go for all the same stuff. So this is, like, a trickle-down effect that I'm hoping for where, like, all of us can see straight out of Compton as an awards contender from the very beginning and not have to, like, reframe our thinking.
Let's hope.
Yeah. Not that Straight Outta Compton is my favorite movie by any means, but it was the most awards contendery of the bunch. Team Creed.
Is Nathaniel still here?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're just a good listener.
I just probably said too much on this topic all week long.
Well, you didn't say too much like Charlotte Rampling did, so.
No, I mean, I just, like, you know, if you're an Oscar nerd, which, you know, we all are, but for me in particular, like, I spend so much time thinking about all the, like, minutiae and, like, the statistics and all of these things, so it's sometimes hard for me to divorce that from these, like, other issues, you know? Because I was doing the same thing, like, well, you know, if you had 6 nominees, it would, you know, I was just looking at it from a different angle, but that upset people. So
what do you think the pressure is going to be on whatever the, you know, contender next year with people of color in it? Like, it's going to be crazy.
Well, I mean, I think there are several, I mean, the other argument, which nobody wants to talk about, is that the past couple of years have, you know, some people have said it was just a blip, because if you look back, there hasn't been an all-white year since like 19... there was one in 2010, but before that, it hadn't happened since like 98 or something. So there are people, not me, who have argued that it was just like a momentary blip and that there was nothing wrong, you know. But it, you know, because some of it, as you know, we keep saying about Hollywood becoming more diverse themselves, some of it needs to be that they actually need to make enough movies.
Yeah.
Right.
That there's, because the thing that people don't talk about when they're angry about this is the fact that when it comes to white actors and prestige vehicles, they're like, oh, they're just automatically in. That's actually not true. It's just that there's so many prestige movies starring actors that when some of them flop, you don't even notice because you still get the nominee.
Yeah. Like, you don't need Black Mass to make it all feel like an all-white year.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, Black Mass was a perfect example. You know,
albeit ironically titled.
Right. So you have to have, like, it's a numbers game, essentially. You have to have enough movies to choose from that, you know, it's all going to balance out and people are going to think of all their different options and choose accordingly, and it's just going to naturally fall into, like, having representation of different types of people as long as there are movies starring diverse people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you don't get people saying, I didn't think Straight Outta Compton was good enough, therefore it's okay that this is all white nominees.
Exactly, right. Because there would be, like, 5 other choices.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you look at, you only have to look back a couple of years where, like, I mean, this has happened to Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan before.
Yeah.
Totally got shut out, but they got shut out in the same year of 12 Years a Slave. So, like, it's easy to overlook it then, because it's just like, oh, right. There were enough possibilities out there where some movies with, you know, Black actors and directors could get in, and some could not get in. And, you know, that's sort of the ideal that we want, is to have enough of a choice that it just becomes another, you know, quote unquote snub, rather than this thing that sort of stands out and is horrible.
Exactly.
And I don't understand Hollywood kind of timetables enough to get how long it would take for mini majors or studio execs or whatever to start pipelining more inclusive projects, that with the idea that now there is this extra incentive to, when I'm thinking of an Oscar vehicle for our studio, I shouldn't just think of, mm-hmm. you know,
That'll take a few years.
Take a few years, right? And so, like, it seems like that isn't going to be in place next year, although people are going to want to see an immediate response.
Right.
But what might change is, like, the movies, for example, I mean, Ex Machina comes to mind just because of, you've got a fairly inclusive list of people in this movie who should have been contenders for these awards, and the person who got marketed was really Alicia Vikander. But mm-hmm. why we didn't tilt 5 degrees over to urging people to vote for Oscar Isaac from critics groups on up is not quite clear, except at the Film Experience, I could point that out. But
go ahead.
No, that's it.
I think the immediate thing you're going to see is, like, at Sundance right now, if Birth of a Nation, the movie that Nate Parker directed and stars in, is any good, then it will get picked up by a studio with the idea of doing an Oscar push for it. Like, that can start now. Like, independent films that are kind of surfacing, and people, you know, if the next Middle of Nowhere shows up somewhere, or Fruitvale Station, there's an idea that they can make more of a push for it now. So hopefully, you know, there's something at Sundance or South By or something that a studio can get behind in that way, where we can see immediate results.
I agree, but I'm also so haunted by how stories still keep trickling out where people want to talk about how Selma was a TV movie, or, you know, the, like,
that's
the
just Quentin Tarantino talking out of his ass.
Well, but there have been other critics who I read a lot lately who have, and you know, whatever. Like, people are entitled to like or not like given movies, but it's just the same pressure we were just talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, the pressure on every individual movie to prove that this does not involve some mythological decline in standards, but that this is as good, or that people aren't just having it rammed down their throats, that they have to vote for this. I don't pity those movies.
Never underestimate the resistance of white people to being told what something that they have to do. Like, Jesus effing Christ. Like, it's every other, you know, every excuse in the book and every, you know, reason why there isn't a problem. And
their own impulse to translate any sentence into, like, you're being told you have to do this, which isn't even what's even happening.
No, but I think the tenor of the resistance that you get from all of these quotes is just basically like, don't tell me the movies I have to. You heard it with 12 Years a Slave. It's still miraculous that 12 Years
a Slave. I was just going to say that. Like, this makes me,
because there was so much resistance to, like, don't tell me I have to like it. It's like, nobody's telling you have to like it. I'm saying it's great. Like,
I was just going to say, like, this really makes me appreciate the miracle of 12 Years a Slave winning Best Picture, because, like, that really could have just embarrassed the hell out of all of us.
Although I read one person online a couple days ago saying that she wondered how much the Hollywood discourses around 12 Years a Slave produced some of the defensiveness that is kind of being so frankly confessed right now. You know, that there is this huge kind of previously undivulged group of people who felt really forced into, like, get behind this movie or you're a racist, who are now speaking out of that, like, 2-year resentment or something.
Oh my God.
I hadn't heard that or thought about
I mean, and that would naturally be exacerbated by people thinking, well, Straight Outta Compton isn't that good, and that's the movie that you're telling me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, 12 Years a Slave, it was pretty hard to deny. Like, it was pretty universally acknowledged as great.
As universal as it gets, yeah.
Whereas Straight Outta Compton, it had a lot of fans, but it wasn't, not any more fans than any other movie that was in the conversation, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hope it wins the SAG just to throw this season into more chaos.
That would actually be amazing. I would pick its acting as a virtue over its writing.
Definitely.
So that would be fun. Watch, and then just Paul Giamatti is the only one who showed up. That's another whole thing.
Oh man, if I was Jason Mitchell, I would be all over that red carpet.
Yeah. He was so good in that movie.
I know. He's the one who should be out there representing it. So hopefully he shows up.
So, you guys, since we were talking about the new rules, I do want to hear from everyone who they are most worried about losing their vote that they would love to see the ballot of.
Oh, God.
Because I have someone in mind.
Wait. I'm not sure I understand exactly.
If you tell us your person, we'll get what you're asking.
Yeah.
People who have not been active long enough since they maybe became a member. We don't know who all the members are. Who you think might lose their vote, but who you'd love to see what their vote was. You know, because they have to be active 30 years after they're a member.
Right. Wait, yeah. So who's yours?
Shelley Duvall.
Oh.
I don't know if she's an Academy member, but I would be obsessed
with
seeing...
She probably is.
I would be obsessed with seeing her ballot.
Don't act like Portrait of a Lady never happened. That was 1996.
But she's, like, such a weird actress, and she's worked with, like, great directors, and, you know, I imagine she would have an interesting take on... I imagine her ballot would be interesting.
Oh, I was thinking... So I think Carol Burnett is eligible. I was looking at this. Like, because she's on TV, and I don't know if TV credits count for actors, which is, like, another question in these very vaguely defined rules. But she hasn't been in a movie in a while, and I can see her being ineligible at some point. I would not want Carol Burnett to be left out.
This is so hard.
Just say Dolores Hart.
Because you have to have been nominated, right?
You have to have not been nominated.
Been nominated.
Yeah, that does make it really hard.
It is tough.
We're just going to have to call this a stumper for me, and if I think of something, I'll interject later.
Okay. Charo's a member of the Academy.
We just need to keep Meg Ryan working so that Meg Ryan can avoid this at all costs.
Somewhere Meg Ryan is like, I think I was just equated to Dolores Hart. That's where things stand.
Who was it? Meg Ryan was like out on a date, like a girl date with somebody recently that was very exciting. I can't remember who. Oh, Reese Witherspoon.
She's very...
Wow, really?
Yeah, Joe. Stand attention.
Joke that was like Jennifer Lawrence, but like, wow, she's kind of on that level. That's so funny.
Meg Ryan's is super, super tight with Laura Dern.
Oh.
So, yeah, because when Laura Dern was doing all the campaigning for Bruce Stern, like at the lunches and stuff, like Meg would always be with Laura.
Well, here comes Meg Ryan playing Reese's mother, I would guess. How many martinis in before that question can come up?
Well, and Laura Dern was recently out to dinner with Common, which is my other new favorite Hollywood friendship. So
yes.
Hopefully everything all ties together and all of them make a movie together.
Are they dating?
I don't know. It was unclear. They were just like leaving a dinner. I try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and just say, you know, they just went to dinner, but... They have shared a meal, so anything is possible.
They've shared a meal, and what else?
We'll suddenly become a gossip site.
Oh, my God.
But thanks for everybody for tuning in. These were our thoughts on the diversity initiatives of the Academy and the recent PGA win for The Big Short, which it sounds like all of us don't really want it to go on to win the Oscar.
I only don't want it because I made a bet with David Ehrlich that Spotlight wouldn't win Best Picture, like back in September. Not for my personal reason, just because I didn't think it would happen. So I want to win that bet. Mm. But not necessarily because of The Big Short. So I don't know. I'm kind of stuck.
Okay. I actually think I lost $20, but I'm trying to remember. I think I bet somebody that Michael Fassbender was going to get snubbed.
Oh, I see where that's coming from.
Yeah.
When I make bets, like money bets on the Oscars, I typically lose. So I really need to start learning my lesson.
I had this best actor related, like, weird daydream yesterday about Ben Foster yelling at his agent about not putting out the Lance Armstrong movie in a year where Trumbo could get a nomination. Not have made this happen. Everybody said I was good.
I gotta say, I saw both of those movies. Trumbo is better, and that really doesn't say much.
Yeah, but wow. Ben Foster is better.
Ben Foster is better. He's great in that movie.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Ben Foster, that he's doing all right.
You gotta look out for Ben Foster.
Yeah,
I guess.
He's got that boat movie coming out. He's all right.
Yeah, all the boat movies look
I was gonna so say, doesn't fabulous. Everybody have a boat movie this year? Like, it feels very boat.
It's a hot new subgenre.
Yeah.
It worked out so well for Chris Hemsworth, so.
Quvenzhané is like, everyone tries to copy me and it never works.
It's been happening to her for years.
Wonder if Dolores Hart says that when they make nun movies.
Like the whole Sister Act time, she's like, damn it! She could have had a cameo in Sister Act so easily.
Right?
And maybe she did and is therefore in good standing.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.